What a glorious thought that as he descends down through the clouds, that we will meet him in the air in the clouds. The rapture is a wonderful thought for the church, and yet many people have said, nope, they don't want to believe that. They believe that we're going to go through the tribulation and that Jesus will come for us then. And I'm not saying that we won't go through persecution. I'm not going to say that we won't go through some hardships, because, you know, there are Christians around the world, in China, India, that are struggling. In fact, they've been given a reprieve because of this virus. Not all, but many of them. Africa, any of the things that the Arab people were doing, the Muslims, it's been a reprieve. They're not up on the Temple Mountain causing all kinds of problems. Planned Parenthood has closed down in many places. Just think of all the babies that are being rescued because of this disease. See, we always look at it from the negative side and the media, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's some good things to this as well. I think it's a wake-up call. It's a reprieve for us to take time to reflect on what's the most important thing about who Jesus Christ is. And the theme of the conference was the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. But this morning I've changed the theme. It's all about Jesus that's recorded in the Bible. It's all about Jesus from eternity to eternity, and that everything that he has promised in the Bible is true, but it's all about him. I mean, Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 24, 44 and 45, these are the words I spoke unto you, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And then he opened up their mind to understand the scriptures concerning me. To open up the scriptures. It's all about him. In Hebrew, we would say Yeshua Od. There's a song that I love to sing. More about Jesus would I know. See, it's more about Jesus in the Bible. And it's all about the Bible. It's about Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the second coming. We looked at the rapture yesterday, And we did not cover all the details. I know that. We're not given the time. In fact, as you said, brother, yesterday, I could go till 12 o'clock till Monday morning. So this may be the longest church service that this church has ever had. And I know Armin said that he'd need a nap and maybe a sandwich and a cup of coffee in between. So, but the thought of Jesus coming is the most scariest thing in this world. The world is not looking for him. They're not going to be looking for us. That as the church is going to come with the Lord Jesus at the second coming, they are not looking for him. It is a scary thought. They have a different person in mind. They have different values. They have different views that they want to promote. I mean, you can go to Psalms 2 and verses 1 to 12. And it says in verse 2, why are the nations in an uproar against the Lord and against his anointed, against the Christ? And that they want to cast their bonds. Let's get rid of this one. They crucified him. Jesus said that the nations would crucify him Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, 19. It would be the nations that crucified Jesus. The Jews might as well have done it, but it was the nations that did it. I mean, it's like if you rob a bank, you know, the guy sitting out in the vehicle, like when the guy that gets caught with the gun and the other guy that's handed in the bags and the money or the papers, the guy sitting in the car is just as guilty. The Jews should have been, you know, they might as well have done it themselves. They said they couldn't do it, but it didn't have no problem doing Stephen in. You know, they didn't go get the authorities there. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that is said, but it was the Gentiles that crucified him. But when it comes right down to it, both Jew and Gentile, you and me, crucified Jesus because of a virus that went worldwide. Sin. What has amazed me is how the world runs to sin. Has no problem with that virus. Every wicked imagination upon the face of the earth, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. But this virus has got everybody scared. And how everybody has complied. I'm amazed that around the world, there's not been a lot of friction about it. I mean, grumble, complain. but that businesses and shut down and around the world, you know, companies, we've complied. But with the virus of sin, they've enjoyed it. And that they encouraged other people to do it. And that's what caused the Lord Jesus to come down, was because of sin in the garden. And then the flood. And then all the nations, and how they would start stacking one upon the other and fighting one against the other and causing world famines and causing, you know, pestilence and all kinds of disease that would follow and down through the centuries. Is that as the thought of Jesus Christ in his second coming is the most discouraging thought to the world. He is the most loved. He is the most loving. He is the most caring, the most giving. He is the most beautiful. And we read this in the scriptures, you know, the glory of God. That is, Jesus revealed himself at the transfiguration, is that he revealed who he really was, the most glorious of the Most High. And that he was willing to give and he was willing to forgive. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't going to hold it against them. And he doesn't hold it against us. He desires our fellowship. That when I asked forgiveness of my sins over 44 years ago, I no longer belong to myself. I no longer belong to myself. I belong to the one who bought me, the one who gave. And it's something that I look forward to, that day when we're coming back with the Lord Jesus. And there's so many scripture references about the second coming. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. And it's another thing that scares people is the book of Revelation. The other book is the book of Daniel. The book of Zechariah. Is because it is in here that we find, you know, the comfort that we're coming back with the Lord Jesus. So as the church has met, as we talked about yesterday, in after the rapture, they meet in heaven, and all of a sudden in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. This is the one that's mentioned in Revelation 1, 4, and 5. In truth and in righteousness, he does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He has a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Remember that saying in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 5, 7, and 8. You know, there are three in heaven that agree, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white and fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Excuse me. That's not the corona. This is something that I've had since I was 14. So if it is corona, I've had it since I was 14. And he has, and the wrath of the Almighty God, and like in Revelation 6, it says, they said, let the rocks fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free, bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles with him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped the image, These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The second coming is not a pretty picture. The second coming is because of the wickedness of man, and the days have come to an end as the world has known it. When the Lord Jesus comes, we're told in Revelation chapter 3, is that he's going to rule with a rod of iron. But if you think of iron, you know, it doesn't bend very easily. It's going to be according to truth and righteousness, according to faithfulness, that he will rule as he comes to set up his kingdom. I mean, we have prayed that prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have prayed that prayer many times. We have sang that song many times. I've said it at funerals. I've said it at a wedding. Thy kingdom come is that we're going to be part of a family, of a marriage. Thy kingdom come. And so when we talk about thy kingdom come, it's the second coming. Because he came once into this world as a babe and grew up and lived in a place where he started his creation. It's a place that he loves. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and he's coming back to Jerusalem to reign as king over all the world. Those who have followed him and loved him, as they come with him, they are going to rule as kings and priests across this world. How that's all going to work and how that's going to be set up, I can only imagine that when the disciples were walking down the triumphal entry, known as the sheep path and the way of the king, is that it was the coronation of the king coming down the Mount of Olives, that they thought it was then that Jesus was going to reign, because he'd already promised them in Matthew chapter 19, 28, that, you know, you're going to sit on the 12 thrones of Israel in the regeneration. Regeneration, re is poly, meaning the new, and Genesis, in the regeneration, Genesis, in the new Genesis, you're going to sit as the heads of the 12 tribes. And we find that in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 22. So these are things that are going to come yet. But as I think of his coming, the world does not want Jesus. Have you any room for Jesus? Because the world does not want him. They didn't want him at the creation. They didn't want him at the flood, because it was him that stood in the boat with Noah and closed the door. And 8 people got on. It was Jesus in the law. They didn't want his law. When Jesus, and we think of where the law was, it was sitting in the Ark of the Covenant. And who sat on the Ark? Well, we know there were 2 cherubims, but it says in Psalms 80, verse 1, that the shepherd of Israel sits on between the 2 cherubims. And that's where he judges. It's based on his law. In fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, he that teaches not the commandments of God shall be called least in the kingdom of God. But the tablets that were written on two tablets of stone, written on both sides, he was going to write upon our hearts. And that the Holy Spirit would guide us and judge us on what is right and what is wrong, as our conscience would be reminded of these things. And that's why that when he came into this world as a babe, I mean, Satan was there. It says that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, is that he used Herod to kill the children, kill Jesus, the Messiah. They thought they had won, that when they crucified him and he gave up his life for sin and for you and me to prepare a place for us, is that they hated him. They mocked him. They hail King Jesus, King of the Jews. But they didn't believe it. And when he rose from the dead, there is people that started to fight, even the Caesars, and they started putting those that believe to death. And down through the centuries, the nations have hated and chased after those who call themselves Christians. Because they don't want Jesus. And so as he starts to make his way down, Satan has gathered the world's army. And it's a world army. And there's nobody left here. Some people have this idea, you know, well, some people won't go. No, you're either a martyr, a believer, or you're a follower of Satan. And if you're a follower of Satan, you will be in the land of the Jezreel Valley, the Valley of Judgment, the Valley of Decisions. There will be nobody sitting here. You have to think, the world is a third of the sun, stars, moon are not going to shine. We got global cooling, freezing here. South, they'll have global warming like they've never seen it before. It tells them that their tongues, you know, are glad. You know, they need water. I mean, their eyes are popping out of their heads. Global warming. And so the world will follow Satan because they've taken the mark. They've taken the mark in the head or in the forehead or in their wrist. And as they follow him, they will follow him to that valley, and they're going to meet Jesus at the second coming. And you don't want to meet Jesus there. And so anybody that's listening to this, you know, tape, is that you don't want to meet him there. If you miss the church rapture, the one thing you want to do, if anybody hears this, you want to make sure that you get right with God soon. Repent of your sins. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And better to meet him as a martyr for the Lord Jesus, as it will be many said of many. Revelation chapter 9, or 7 verse 9, is that there will be many people that will follow him, and they will be put to death. But you do not want to meet Jesus at the second coming. It is not a pretty picture, as we read from Revelation chapter 19. There are many portions of scriptures in Corinthians and Isaiah and Daniel, you know, that tell us about these events. But the one thing I want to, as I reflect upon Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, the Christ, I want to turn to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Because remember, this is all about the Lord Jesus. Every portion of Scripture, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. You'll find that the I am is in 32 books of the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. These are the words concerning me, he said. And so as we go to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, he says, and I will pour upon the inhabitants of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom, and the Hebrew word there is alavantav et. It is the first and last. They have pierced. They have pierced the first and the last. That's exactly what it says in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Barashit, Bar, son, Ishman, to the mark, God, the first and the last, Olive and the Tav, created the heavens and the earth. They have pierced him, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad Ramon in the valley of Megiddon. Megiddo. Armageddon. It's mentioned right here in the Old Testament. It's mentioned there in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the families of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. They're going to mourn the one whom they have pierced. They turned him over to godless men. And today in Israel, if you were to go online to look at Olive Tree Ministries, they're very similar to like Ray Comfort, where they just go out into the public, they take a microphone, they start asking questions. What do you want? What would you look for in a leader? You know, and they start saying that, oh, we have a leader for you. And he talks about being kind and about thinking of the people. And you can just go through this whole video, and there you find that they start presenting, it's Jesus. The very person that you've been longing for, it's Jesus. And the church is alive right now in Israel. Most people won't even talk about that. But the church is alive in Israel. And there are many Jewish believers, many Gentile believers from around the world that have come to Israel. But the church of Jesus Christ is alive in Israel. It's gone through much persecution. But the more I believe that when we have persecution, it always seems to bring revival. I think that in North America, we've become lazy and careless in our gospel, in our presentation of who we believe in. And that sometimes we've even been ashamed to name the name of Jesus. And so they're going to look upon me, whom they have pierced. Well, turn to Revelation chapter 1. So that's about the Jewish people. Look at what Revelation chapter 1 tells us. And I'm going to begin with verse 4. Because it's reflecting on the churches, but also as the church will be taken up. He says, John to the seven churches, Revelation 1, 4, which are in Asia, that's Turkey today, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own body, hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, and to him be the glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then it makes this statement, behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye, not just the Jewish people, but every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. That's every person. There's no exceptions. We've all pierced him. Now we're going to see him because we're going to be with him. But the world will see him. And it says, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So there's mourning amongst the Jewish people because as they've seen him, you know, this is the one that we put to death, you know, almost 2,000 years ago. But the nations are going to realize this is him, that as he's come, there's going to be wailing. But for the world, it'll be too late because they have put their mark of Satan on their body. Because there's nothing they can do. But as they see them, you know, Esau, he cried. He cried when he lost his birthright and his blessing. He cried. And he said, Father, bless me also. And the Father blessed him, but it wasn't the blessing that he wanted. He should have been Israel, but he lost that position. And not only did he lose his blessing and his birthright, is that he had already married into the curse of the Hittites, who were part of the Canaanites. And so he had already lost favor from God. Because, see, he didn't care about what was given to him. The whole world has been given salvation. But the most part, most people don't care. And when will they care? When it's too late. I can only think of the flood. That when the door closed and it started to rain. That if you were to find the ark, I'm pretty sure you'd find that there were pieces of wood gouged out of that with their fingers, their nails. You know, they would have been scratching. It says that Methuselah and his father Lamech had already passed away before the year of the flood. Doesn't say about his grandma. Doesn't say about his mother. His brothers, Lamech had many sons, daughters. His nephews and all their children. See, Noah's family is on the boat. But all his relatives are on the outside. Open up, Noah. We believe you. We believe that it's going to rain. Yes, we understand now what you're trying to say. It's too late. And they saw the ark for 120 years in the process of its building to its completion. They heard the gospel. Because the gospel is the eternal gospel given from the days of Jesus Christ in Genesis 1 verse 1. The gospel, the Son, man, and the cross. And they chose not to believe. And it will be many that will be missing when it comes to the millennial kingdom. But it's not because God didn't make any preparations. It's because he loved the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. But at the second coming, it's too late. You don't want to meet Jesus there. It'll be a wonderful time for the church. It's coming to rescue the remnant of the Jewish people, one third, that are being under persecution, and they probably have put their trust in Jesus, and we're coming to Jerusalem. So if you've never been on a trip with Arnold and Ruth and myself, you're going to get to go on a wonderful trip with the Lord Jesus as we come to Jerusalem, and he's going to reign there as king. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And so turn to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. We're going to begin with verse 1. I'm just going to put it back in there. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city will be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there will be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. There's coming a day when he's going to put his feet back. Remember when the angel said to the disciples, that as they were standing on the Mount of Olives, looking up, this very same Jesus on the Mount of Olives, you know, as you see him go up, he's coming back. And there he is. At the second coming, he's coming back to the very place that he left. It's a promise. And so the Jewish Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is coming back. He is Lord and Savior. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to begin with verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, and Amos 3:7 says that he would not reveal the secret of God unless he did it through the prophets, so he showed it by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. That Jesus was going to suffer. That was the very first verse in Genesis. Bar sheet, a son, a man, and a cross. He's going to suffer. It's been fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before, was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said, unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me. That meant that Moses had to rise from the dead. And that's what we find in the scriptures, is that Moses is with the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. Moses is being argued over by his body, by Satan, with Michael the archangel. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The prophet of Nazareth, the great apostle, if you don't listen to him, there's coming a day when you'll have to, a decision will be made. It will not be Jesus that casts people into hell. The decision will have been their own, and he will honor it. That you wanted nothing to do with me. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and all that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. The days of the Lord's coming have been decreed in the Old Testament again and again and again, that he was coming, and that they were to prepare, and that the gospel would go forth, and that it would help people to prepare, that salvation had been fulfilled. And he says to the Jewish people that are on this mountain. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That is the gospel. I mean, that's Galatians chapter 3. That when I look at Galatians 3, verse 8, here's what he says. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel. What's the gospel? Unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, that's what we just read here in Acts 3:25. And in thy seed and all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. It's the gospel. And if the gospel has been preached, and then the end must come. If the gospel has been here, so will Jesus. He came once, he'll come again. Over 100 verses talk about his first coming. Over 400 verses in the Bible talk about his second coming. Jesus is coming again. Secondly, or thirdly, sorry, the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, will descend to the earth with all his saints. Turn to Obadiah 1, verse 21. Obadiah chapter 1. It's right before Jonah, and it's just before, or just after Amos. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. There's going to be saviors that coming. How could it be plural? Because there is one Savior who has come to live within his children, as they've reflected, needing that they needed a Savior, is that there are now Saviors because the Lord Jesus is within us. And that we're coming back to Mount Zion. It's not coming back to Ottawa. Not going to stop off in Washington. It's coming back to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the place which encompasses Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is God's holy mountain. Mount Moriah is where the temple was. On Mount Moriah is where the Lord Jesus was crucified. He's coming back to the very place, and he's bringing all those who have put their trust in him to stand with him on Mount Messiah, on Mount Zion. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 13. As the Apostle Paul is talking about this time, it says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He's coming back with all the saints to the earth. Just as it said in Obadiah chapter 1. Turn to Jude chapter 1, verse 4. There's only one chapter. Jude and verse 4. The reason I bring this up is it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, meaning sexual lewdness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to verse 14. And Enoch also in the seventh from Adam prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. And that's why I brought verse 4 up. It was ungodly men that turned the grace of Jesus Christ, and they denied him and denied that grace, among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they were told there should be mockers in the last days who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Every wicked imagination, ungodly, We don't want to be numbered amongst those people, because there's coming a day of judgment, and that will be at the second coming. To turn the things of God and turn people away from the grace of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not one of us has anything to boast, except as Paul said, I will boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, stands with the Jewish people, the people of Israel. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 25 and 26. Isaiah 49. And I just, before I read that, I just want to read one verse. He says in Isaiah 49, verse 8, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation, the Hebrew word here is Yeshua, in the day of Jesus have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And he says now in verse 25, but thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Is that he was the one that was going to contend. We can go to Isaiah 63, that he's going to walk the press. As he says, as it says in 63, he's going to be walking that press. He says in Isaiah 63, verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I will speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have treaded the winepress alone, and of the people that were there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments, for the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of the redeemed is come. It's the Lord who's done it all. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been him that has done all things all well. For thou shalt receive glory, for thou hast created all things. And as we think of the Lord Jesus, that as he contends for Israel, he's already contended for the saints. And I just like to read, Jude verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. As he says this for Jew and Gentile, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because he's contended. He has stood his ground. And at the cross, he stood his ground for you. For Jew, for Gentile, male, female, young, old, he took his stand against Satan, against the world, for you. And at the second coming, those that have put their trust, we will be coming back with him. Revelation 14, verse 1 tells us that the Lamb stood on Mount Zion with 144,000. These are Jews that he is called. Jews that have not defiled themselves. And they love him. And they follow him wherever he goeth. But he's here on the earth. And they will follow him. Fifthly, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, would judge the nations of the earth. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 7 as well. And he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fires, taking vengeance. It's the day of vengeance. At the rapture, it's not the day of vengeance. But at the second coming, it's the day of vengeance. On them that know not God, and that not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because their testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. And remember Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some had denied the grace of Jesus. And I see that as I travel, people have turned it. You know, you don't need to repent. You just need to show up at church. Make sure you bring your wallet and we'll see you next week as well. You know, and that's kind of the mentality. And we get these big fancy buildings and we got to keep them going. I wonder how these big fancy buildings are going to keep going during this time. And how do you make your payments? That's why some of these faith healers are yelling and screaming at their people. Don't you forget to quit. You don't quit dieting. You don't. And they start pointing fingers and even at the internet, and they're looking straight at you and they're pointing at you. Don't you quit. You know, God will curse you if you do that. And they put this fear and scare on people. But there's coming a day. He's looking forward to this day. It's a day that God has seen in eternity past. He's looking forward to this day. He's looking forward to those that will ride on a white horse with him. I don't know how many people ride horses. I probably have told you what the name of my horse is. I don't know if you remember. I don't ride horses. I don't like horses. I'm not getting on a horse, but that day I'll get on a horse, and I won't be afraid. And I've already called my horse way to go. So when you get up there and you see that horse, don't get on that. That's John's horse. You know, I've already named it. So when you see the sign, way to go, that's my horse. Don't get on there. And way to go, Jesus. And I'm coming with you because I believe you. And so he's going to judge with flaming fire. Isaiah 34 verse 8 tells us that there's a controversy over Zion. What would that controversy be? Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it as unto me. The controversy of how the nations have hated Israel. It is the place that he loved. It is the place he created. It's the place that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has followed it, and that he has disciplined the Jewish people when they have not listened. But for the Jewish people to own the land and to stay in it did not depend upon them. It depends upon a God. Because when he made the covenant to Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep. And God walked that press alone. He walked and made a covenant with himself. Our salvation does not depend on you and me. It depends on Jesus alone. That is, at the cross, there was nobody there with him. He did it all alone. And he says that he'll never leave you or forsake you when you put your trust in him. In Isaiah chapter 26, verses 29 to 21, is that he's going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins. He died for sins, but if you will not accept him, there's coming a day of punishment for those that will not accept what God has done, for God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 15, is that he said that he was going to smite the nations. But I wanted to turn to Psalms chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Because it says that he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And so I just want to bring in what the scripture says about the Lord Jesus. Is that they have forsaken him. They want nothing to do with him. But as God said, he was going to set up his king on his holy mountain, Mount Zion. That's in verse 6. The decree was that he said, thou art my only son. Thou art my son, in this day have I begotten thee. But he says in verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give the heathen, the Gentiles, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, O ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, meaning do homage. Bend the knee. Give him worship. Give him praise. Lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And you perish from that way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed are that, as Paul said, the Philippian jailer said, you know, what must we do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. Meaning that, yes, I believe that Jesus created this world. Yes, I believe that he loves me and that he gave his life for me, that he ascended, he's coming back. I believe. And I need to repent. I believe. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust and obey. There is no other way. And then lastly, is that Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, will be the king of David's kingdom. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it says here in verses 12 and 13, When thy days be fulfilled, David, and when thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, David, I will set up thy seed, a seed that was given in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the seed of Mary, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, thy kingdom come. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7. Beginning with verse 13. The Son has already come. As he stands before the Ancient of Days, he says in verse 13, I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came, and with the clouds of heaven came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and shall not pass away, his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Is that he's going to reign here on the earth. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall reign upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And that upon this him is the government, and it's going to tell you how the government's going to run. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, he says in verse 7, of the increase of thy government, of the kingdom, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. It's going to be done. He's going to reign on this earth. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 32. That as we see the second coming, we also see what he's going to do at the second coming. And this was spoken of at his first coming. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 32. Mary had found favor with God. And this is what the angel Gabriel said to her. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall there be no end. That was declared as he was coming into the world. He was already conceived in a little village of Nazareth, a promise given to Mary for you and me for this world, is that Jesus was going to reign on the throne in Israel. And at the second coming, you get to reign as kings and priests. And the good news is that at the end of this second coming, is that Satan will be judged. He will be cast into a pit for 1,000 years. He will be judged. At the end of that 1,000 years, he's let loose. That's in the millennium. But at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to raise up an army like the sand of the sea and come to Jerusalem. Is that in Revelation chapter 20, and we'll close with this. We started in Revelation, and I think this is where we should end. Revelation chapter 20, it says in verse 2, I'm going to read verse 1. And when I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, till after that he will be loosed a little season. Verse 7. At the end of that, when Satan is loosed, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Nothing has changed with this individual, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up in the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that's in Jerusalem, and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil was deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night for and ever. Amen. It was forever and ever now. And so as I think of the Lord Jesus, is that he has made a promise to come, and that he will rule. The good news is that if you put your trust in him, you're coming back with him to rule with him. Let's just close this time. Father, I just thank you so much for the scriptures, for what we've been able to read in a very short time about the Lord Jesus, about the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, is that it's all true, and that you're going to reign just as you've said. And in a very short time, we've looked at your word to be able to see that one day you are going to reign forever and ever. And so, Father, we pray for that day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, may it be here on earth as well. We give you thanks. We give you the glory. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the words. We thank you for the comfort that we have in thy scriptures, is that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we look forward to that day when we shall see Jesus. And with that, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.